is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A federal judge in Vermont ordering the Trump administration to transfer a Tufts University student, Ramissa Ozturk, to immigration police custody in Vermont by May 1st, denying the federal government's motion to dismiss the case.
Her lawyers claim her arrest violated the First and Fifth Amendments and that she's targeted for an opinion piece in her school newspaper, urging the university to recognize Palestinian genocide.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen returning to the U.S. from El Salvador in his face-to-face meeting with a man mistakenly deported to a notorious prison there. The senator revealing Kilmar Abrego Garcia is living in fear and has been moved to another detention center. A federal judge in Washington has blocked hundreds of layoffs planned by the Trump White House for tonight at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. More than 50 million Americans from Texas to the Great Lakes are on alert for severe weather through Sunday, thunderstorms, wind, hail, and even isolated tornadoes. This is ABC News. At the White House earlier, President Trump was on hand for the official swearing-in of Dr. Oz as administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
As CMS administrator, Dr. Oz will work tirelessly to strengthen and protect Medicare for our nation's seniors and Medicaid for the needy. Just as I promised, there will be no cuts. We're not going to have any cuts. We're going to have only help.
Oz says he'll work to cut waste, fraud, and abuse. Plastic surgery turns fatal in New York City.
A 31-year-old woman from Queens has died a month after undergoing what she thought was going to be a routine butt implant removal. Maria Petaloza went into cardiac arrest and was declared brain dead as a result of the botched procedure. The man who performed it, allegedly injecting lidocaine through a syringe, wasn't a plastic surgeon at all and had no medical license. He'll be in court later this month. Police say the investigation into exactly what happened is ongoing. Sherry Preston, ABC News, New York.
And I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hey, it's me, your liver. You know, the organ that helps you recover every weekend after pizza, donuts, and all those drinks. When you have a headache, you take an aspirin. You have a stomachache, you pop an acid. But where's the love for your best buddy, the liver? The least that you could do to help me stay healthy is take Active Liver from New Nordic. Active Liver tablets contain high-quality, all-natural ingredients like milk thistle, globe artichoke, and turmeric extracts, which are proven to keep me healthy and you feeling your best. Active Liver provides an easy daily detox and helps protect me all year long. So let me make you an offer you can't refuse. You take care of me with Active Liver, and I keep taking care of you. Capiche?
See for yourself why Active Liver is Scandinavia's number one liver health supplement. You can find Active Liver at CVS and online at Amazon or directly from NewNordicUSA.com. Again, find it in stores at CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers host the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Athletics. Tonight at AmFam Field, Freddy Peralta on the mound for the crew. NBA, the Bucks head to Indianapolis to play the Pacers tomorrow at noon for game one of their best of seven playoff series. Damian Lillard back at practice just a month after being diagnosed with a blood clot, but not active yet. Bobby Portis back from that 25-game suspension.
You know, I've been suspended for a little minute, so it's fun to just practice for real, and get up and down with the guys, so it's fun being in the mix with the guys and trending towards the playoffs, and it's fun to just be on the court with the guys. So it was a great day in the office.
Giannis asked about his advice to younger teammates who've never played in a postseason game.
My first playoff, I got injected. My first playoff, I tackled somebody. See, it doesn't get worse than that.
But, just anybody that plays for the first time in the playoffs, just do not tackle somebody. You know, that would be my advice.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new Star Wars film officially has a title, and it's called Star Wars Starfighter. The film's lead actor will be Ryan Gosling, and it will be directed by Sean Levy, whose previous credits include, well, pretty much everything. Levy has directed the recent smash Deadpool and Wolverine, all three Night at the Museum films, and executive produced Stranger Things. Gosling's last big film was The Fall Guy, so I'm sure he's eager to wash that taste out of his mouth. Star Wars Starfighter hits theaters May 28th of 2027. There is something about podcasts that seems to help celebrities open up. Emilio Estevez recently appeared on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast, Host Josh Horowitz asked The Outsiders actor what the worst note he ever got from a director was. Estevez says on the set of St. Elmo's Fire, director Joel Schumacher screamed at the top of his lungs, "Have a good bleeping time." Estevez says Schumacher was a bully and wildly insecure. He also made a very mediocre Batman movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, high upper 50s. Increasing clouds Sunday, showers developing, high temperatures in the mid-50s. Showers continue Sunday night and linger on into Monday morning. Currently 51 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and I'm dedicating this episode to you, the listeners. Your voices matter, and I want to hear how significantly we influence your lives.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Eagle, 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I love it. I'm awake. It's Friday, and then we're going to... It's time to take a little nap and get ready for the weekend.
Hey, and, Victor.
Pardon?
Hey, Victor.
Yeah.
It always gets stuck in my head after that intro, and then I think about it the whole first
time. Well, I remember you watching Smoke Signals together, and you went, oh, wow, that's where you got that, and you got that. And I go, wow, you really listened to that intro. But I guess after 2 years, it's kind of embedded in your head.
Burnt in there. I just dream about it. I hear it in my sleep.
I was thinking about doing a new one, and I thought, nah,
it's so classic. Everyone knows it too. It's like, oh, that's Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, we got a jam-packed show. We got State Senator Mary Kunish on. We got later on Wendy with her sacred animal portion, Wendy Pilot. And let's start off the show here. We got a couple things going on, but I want to get back to the new popular part of our show, Haley's. Oh, this is a tongue twister, isn't it? Yes. Haley's Ho-Chunk word of the day.
Haley Cherry's Ho-Chunk. The HC's kind of funny. Yeah, that Haley's is. Ho-Chunk. Hey. I've been using the Ho-Chunk mobile dictionary app for these words. It's a really great resource for us trying to learn our language and keep up to date, keep ourselves held accountable too. Yeah. We've been doing some animal themes. Which ones have we talked about? We talked about wolf and dog, and those cougar. Ones are kind of similar. Cougar was the hard one. Maybe we should go over that one again. Where was
what's that? Wichicha, Sikh, Siri, Wencha.
Cougar. Wow, great job. That was great effort there, Dega. Cougar. Which, okay, now I have to, I need to.
Which
Winchwa Sinch Sidich. Winchwa Sinch Sidich.
Oh,
Cougar.
I was reading Deer Antlers.
Oh, yeah. Deer Antlers. We can do that one. Deer was caw. Or no, sorry. Well, I totally just pronounced that wrong. Chaw.
But I know like thousands of years ago, we had the chicken. We're talking about not current animals, but talking about clans, and we had the chicken clan along with the dinosaur clan.
What?
No, I'm kidding. That's from Reservation Dogs, but I really like the word chicken. Ba kawake.
Yes, that was very exaggerated. But yeah, that was Arvina's favorite word. And Arvina Martin, yeah, gave us that one. Chicken, bagache. Bagache.
Bagache.
Yes, bear was hunch. What did we do? We did snake the other day, which was waka. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. We're sticking with animals today. I think I picked the hawk. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of, if you're not Ho-Chunk, I guess you might not know this, but our hawk represents our warrior clan. In Ho-Chunk, we have 12 clans,
mm-hmm.
Which are kind of split into two. We have our above and then those on earth that are clan animals.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is one that is part of the sky clan animals for, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. the hawk. The word for that is Keraju. 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 Wow,
that's a good one. And yeah. I like how you talked about, I always give a hard time to our other clan members that we're Eagle Clan, and I always do my hand as an eagle flying over them.
Well, what's cool about the eagle is that it's like the only bird that can fly above a storm.
Whoa.
I know.
What? Did you learn that from Wendy?
Probably, actually. You do. Fun fact Friday.
You do listen to the show.
Yeah, it's the eagle, Josh Shep, is the only bird that can clear a storm by flying above it.
Wow.
So yeah. But yeah, so the hawk, the Ho-Chunk bird, we say Karachu. Karachu. Hopefully I'm saying that right. But yeah. There's a word too that for black hawk, you could say Kedajusep, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very
cool. Know.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's the word of the day, hawk, Kedaju. And let's, why don't we segue into our friend Governor Evers from the great state of Wisconsin, who listens to this show. We're on 30 stations on Civic Media and all across Turtle Island. We got to do a little update of their great governor. And thank goodness we have Governor Evers to veto all those bad bills that the Republicans like to pop up.
Yeah, seriously. I know Governor Evers has a great update this week. Talking about the Ojibwe fishing harvest. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Hey there, folks. Governor Tony Evers here. The Ojibwe tribes in Wisconsin have been hunting and gathering from our land and waterways since time immemorial. And each spring, Ojibwe families have the opportunity to harvest walleye and muskie from ceded territory waters, as is their right. So as the 2025 Ojibwe spring fishing season starts soon, it is our responsibility to help uphold agreements and honor treaty rights, protect against harvesting harassment, and to call out anti-Native hate and racism when we hear it. Because we are a better state when we support one another, respect tribal sovereignty, and when we work together to build the sort of state we want to live in. So with that, I'm wishing all those participating a very safe and successful spring harvest. Let's make it a good one, folks. Take care.
Well, what a great opportunity to harvest. And you were harvesting some syrup from some sap from trees, and just to get back into that, who would have thunk, you know, 10 years ago you'd be doing that or we'd be talking about that.
Yeah, it's so great that community leaders and cultural knowledge keepers can put on those events for us and invite relatives out to experience those things. And just want to wish all of our Ojibwe relatives partaking in this spring's activity to have fun, be safe, do it in a good way. And yeah, just carry on the ways of the culture.
Yes, definitely. Hey, speaking of which, you know, Saturday is going to be a powwow over and Champlin Park in High School Fieldhouse. And that's a grand entry, of course, at 1 and feast at 5. And it doesn't say anything about a grand entry at 7. So I guess get there at 1 p.m. And then, you know, watch me for the intertribal dance out there. I'll be out there shaking my booty.
Yes. Well, grand entry is at 1 and that feast is at 5. And again, we're talking about the Champlin Park High School powwow, the 2025 American Indian Education. It's going to be at the Champlin High or the Champlin Park High School in the field house.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, there's other things going on. And I know one of the things that we always love to go to at the Four Sisters Market.
Ooh, the Four Sisters Farmers Market. Yeah, that's part of NACTI, Native American Community Development Institute, and their food sovereignty program, Four Sisters. This is their market that goes on through the summer months. I guess, when does that usually start? Is that in June?
Yeah, it says June 5th here in my notes, and I don't know where I got these notes, but I think that's June 5th.
Yeah, Thursday. So the market days are every Thursday in the summer from 11 to 3. It's in the parking lot of NACTI, 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
At the Native Corridor, right?
Yeah, the American Indian Cultural Corridor in Minneapolis. Yeah. It's a place to be seen and be in community and support local Native businesses and vendors as well.
Well, a lot going up at the Capitol here, and it would be great to get an update for Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish, and then later on, Wendy Pilot with the Sacred Animal portion of our show, and excited to hear that. She sent that from New York, and
Brand new.
Yeah, you like that.
I do.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Warmer weather means construction season is back, and that means changes on the roads. Starting soon, expect lane reductions, ramp closures, and significant delays on Interstate 94 between 35W and Huron Boulevard in Minneapolis. These changes could add time to your commute, so plan ahead or find your best alternate route. Stay informed and check for real-time traffic updates at 511mn.org. Again, that's 511mn.org.
I love my Toyotas from Rudy Luther Toyota for one simple reason. I can depend on them. You know they keep you safe, and they're incredibly reliable, fuel-efficient, comfortable, and stylish. The Consumer Reports Best of 2025 edition has 10 Toyotas as best buys in affordability. Toyotas are some of Consumer Reports' highest-rated certified pre-owned vehicles, and Rudy Luther Toyota's service department is the one place I take my Sienna for all of its maintenance needs. Toyotas are fantastic vehicles because they're fantastic vehicles. See for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota off of 394 in Golden Valley.
Now showing at MIA, artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on the Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work and see how her art challenges traditional ideas of Native and modern art. Only at MIA, and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Yes, it is Friday, and normally I can't speak this well on Friday, obviously, but hey, we have our friend State Senator Mary Kunish on, and a lot going on in Indian country and a lot going on at the Minnesota State Capitol. I just want to welcome you, and good to see you, State Senator.
Thanks so much. Hamatakeapi to all of you. It's Friday after another really big, long week at the Minnesota Capitol. We are to the point where all of the committees have heard the bills that policy and most of the finance bills that are going to end up in the final omnibus bills in our committees. I had my last hearing on my education funding bill yesterday, and there were a few amendments to my bill, but you know, we are in a bit of a a crunch as far as funding goes for the state. I mean, it's not like it was 2 years ago when we had the surplus from unspent dollars the biennial before, and we had good tax returns, and we had a really unusual opportunity to invest in Minnesota, which we did. And now the reality is this year is, you know, we're back to, there are no extra COVID dollars coming down from the federal government. In fact, there are many things that are cut by the federal government because of the new administration. Our tax revenues were not, you know, as high as they had been or had been forecasted. And so we all have to work within our means, and that's what we're doing. So the education bill, while in the past has been pretty robust and we've been able to put a lot of money into different areas, this time we had to really scale back. We weren't able to fund a lot of the grants that we had been funding in the past. We've had to make some cuts, especially to non-public schools, which is heartbreaking for me to ever have to make those kind of cuts. But at the legislature, we are tasked with funding public schools. And when we have the excess, we will share it. But in the meantime, you know, our focus is on feeding our kids. So continuing no-cost lunches and breakfasts, making sure that our hourly workers are eligible to receive unemployment during the off year, the off season from school, investing in English learner students and special ed students. And then, of course, we have a really strong literacy program that we're going to continue to work. And my personal favorite is funding our libraries. We'll continue to do that, and our museums, because I don't know if I shared this with you. The Trump-Musk administration cut the entire, put the entire body of federal employees who work on museums and libraries across the country on administrative leave. There's only 70 of them, but nonetheless, they're not there. And so it's going to be up to all of us in the states to ensure that our communities have free access to information and resources through the library and through our museums.
Well, you know, before we get too much more into what's happening at the Capitol, in the bills, and I'd like to really get deep into that because there's three or four things I'd really love to discuss with you. I saw you and your family and a lot of other legislators at the Capitol last Saturday.
Yep, Saturday. I'm sure there were people all over the country. And even I think there were some international gatherings around the No More rallies, our hands off rally.
Right.
There were, what did they say, like 30,000 or more people at the Capitol. And then people keep chiming in how many there were in Bemidji and Morris and Rochester and, you know, some of these little men up in Moorhead. It was amazing. Everywhere there were gatherings. And yeah, my sisters were all there. My sister Patrice was one of the folks that helped organize the crowd, and had a sister that came down from Onamia, sister that came up from Goodhue, St. Paul, and, you know, their friends. A bunch of my cousins were there. And so it was pretty fantastic to hear and see all those people who came up to say, you know, this is not right the way things are going. And I hope it really felt people feel empowered and like their voices are being heard and seen.
Well, the next one's going to be even bigger. And I was at the previous one, and I think there was only a couple thousand. And this one, there was anywhere from 30 to 40,000 people there. And I got to give a shout out to my neighborhood, too. Right next to Mac Roblin in St. Paul, there's a neighborhood called Highland. And there was a couple hundred people just in Highland on the streets with signs and protesting. And you know, it's good to see. And we got to keep revving it up. And
It was great seeing you there. And just to let everybody know out there in Radio Land too, I don't know, we have a Resist product in our store, Native Roots Trading Post, and that's going to go online here in a couple days. So stay tuned to that, and you can get some Resist swag from Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, I wore my winter jean jacket with Resist on the back, and I had so many people ask me, where did I get that? So, Robert, I've been sending them your way. I don't know if you've gotten any requests, but I'll let them know once your line goes up online.
Yeah, definitely appreciate it. And I'm glad you're out there modeling it. It's really been fun. And we were wearing those, and you had Resist swag the first time around on Trump. Yeah. So we're reestablishing it. And again, you know, us natives of the last 500 years have been the resistance experts. So, and it was great to see you. I saw you, and then you came up to me because I was recording some of the stuff. It was hard to record live because there were so many people pulling down the internet from that area. So I had to record stuff. But again, it was great to see you. Hey, I want to swing back to what you were talking about. And, you know, there's bills that that you really help with, whether it's the wolves or wild rice. And, you know, there's a couple other ones like the foster care, and that kind of mirrors and or not mirrors, but it kind of is married to the bill that you had last year about birth certificates. I wonder if you want to give us a couple minute report on what you guys been doing and what bills you've been working on. And then we can finish up on that in the next segment, because it's just so exciting to get this update and hear the great work that you are doing and your colleagues are doing at the Capitol.
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about that. I have a bill this year about the Foster Bill of Rights. So foster kids have rights, you know, that are oftentimes not explained to them, oftentimes are ignored when they are. And so, you know, our foster carers are certainly, you know, extremely vulnerable. And there are people that will take advantage of them. I think we've all heard historically how hard that is, and some of the really cruel stories of being treated so horribly, you know, made to sleep in a shed outside, made to work. You don't get to eat. They lock up the cabinets in the refrigerator, and they only give you, you know, the bare minimum. Foster care kids get an allowance from the state, and it's for those kids. And oftentimes we've heard stories about how those dollars were withheld or never even told the kid that they had them to, you know, if they wanted to go out to a movie with their friends or to purchase clothing, extracurricular things. And foster care folks would you know, mistreat those dollars. And I'm not saying that every foster care parent is like that. I know plenty of families that welcomed foster care kids, whether they're native or, you know, kids of color or not, whatever the case may be, and made them a part of the family and did the very best that they could. But we also heard from a lot of horrible, you know, hurtful stories about some of the things that would happen. And so we wanted to make sure that we put in legislation the fact that Those foster care kids absolutely have rights, and we want to make sure that everybody knows and everybody's on the same page when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, and it sounds like common sense again. Thank you so much. And it kind of marries the bill that you guys passed last year. And I know me as being an adoptee and also was in foster care many times as a young person before I was adopted at 18 months, I guess we'll talk about it next segment, but talk a little bit about, you know, that law that you guys passed where we can get our own original birth certificates, which is huge.
That's really important, I think. If you don't know where you come from, you don't always know where you're going.
Yeah, really good point. Yeah, this is Native Roots Radio, and here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're just sharing as we usually do, and it's...
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A federal judge in Vermont ordering the Trump administration to transfer a Tufts University student, Ramissa Ozturk, to immigration police custody in Vermont by May 1st. Denying the federal government's motion to dismiss the case.
Her lawyers claim her arrest violated the First and Fifth Amendments and that she's targeted for an opinion piece in her school newspaper, urging the university to recognize Palestinian genocide.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen returning to the U.S. from El Salvador in his face-to-face meeting with a man mistakenly deported to a notorious prison there. The senator revealing Kilmar Abrego Garcia is living in fear and has been moved to another detention center. A federal judge in Washington has blocked hundreds of layoffs planned by the Trump White House for tonight at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. More than 50 million Americans from Texas to the Great Lakes are on alert for severe weather through Sunday, thunderstorms, wind, hail, and even isolated tornadoes. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers host the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Athletics. Tonight at AmFam Field, Freddy Peralta on the mound for the Crew. NBA, the Bucks head to Indianapolis to play the Pacers. Tomorrow at noon for game one of their best of seven playoff series. Damian Lillard back at practice just a month after being diagnosed with a blood clot, but not active yet. Bobby Portis back from that 25-game suspension.
You know, I've been suspended for a little minute, so it's fun to just practice for real, and get up and down with the guys, so... It's fun being in the mix with the guys and trending towards the playoffs, and it's fun to just be on the court with the guys. So it was a great day in the office.
Giannis asked about his advice to younger teammates who've never played in a postseason game.
My first playoff, I got injected. My first playoff, I tackled somebody. See, it doesn't get worse than that. But, yeah, just anybody that plays for the first time in the playoffs, just do not tackle somebody.
You know, that would be my advice.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Since we haven't heard Glenn Powell news in about 4 seconds, here is an update. The highly in-demand actor will co-write and star in a new comedy about a country western music star. Powell is partnering with Judd Apatow, with whom he will share writing credit for the script. Apatow, whose credits include The 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up, will direct. Powell's most recent credits were Hitman and the blockbusters Twisters and Top Gun 2. A legacy drummer is out of a job. The Who has decided to part ways with Zach Starkey after almost 30 years following a performance at the Royal Albert Hall in London. Starkey is the son of Beatles drummer Ringo Starr and the godson of original Who drummer, the late Keith Moon. Starkey apparently got into it on stage with lead singer Roger Daltrey. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, high upper 50s. Increasing clouds Sunday, showers developing, high temperatures in the mid-50s. Showers continue Sunday night and linger on into Monday morning. Currently 51 degrees.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach,
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're just talking about things that are happening in the state of Minnesota and the Capitol, and we were touching lightly about the foster care bill that she was working on, and then kind of reminiscing too about how important, maybe we can start off where we were finishing there before the break, and is how important that it is for people that are 18 and over to get their own birth certificate now.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really surprising how many folks out there are adopted that you don't know. I mean, it's not something somebody walks up to you and says, oh, hi, I'm Mary Kunish and I'm adopted, or, you know, whatever the case may be, but I'm not adopted. I have, you know, my sister adopted some infants, you know, her family is a family of adoptees. I have a number of relatives that we discovered, you know, with that 23andMe and Ancestry.com that we didn't know that we had. So it was incredible. It was miraculous. But adoptees themselves weren't able to go and get their birth information. I think they had to wait for somebody to come looking for them, or, you know, really jump through hoops to get any information about their birth families. Well, last year, Minnesota passed a law that said if you're over 18, you can have access to your original birth record. And I think before we left, I said something like, you know, if you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going.
Right.
And I think it's really important that, you know, not everybody wants to be found. Not everybody, you know, I'm sure giving up a child is one of the hardest things in the world for mothers and probably for fathers as well. And some people bury it very, 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 very deep and just don't ever want to have to go back there and relive it, where, you know, there are plenty of folks that did put their children up for adoption, their child up for adoption, that would love to be reunited with them. In fact, my own brother, as a very young man, he and an old previous relationship found that they had children, a child coming, and that child went, was put up for adoption, and they were reunited. And my brother has a great relationship with him, and we love to bring that young man into our family. But that's not always the case. And so I think it is important that there's the opportunity to find out your birth information. But at the same time, I just hope everybody's really careful with that information.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, I forget about that, too, that there's not always people wanting to be found out. But there are so many adoptees, and especially in our Native community. And and then just having that bill, it gives you access to health records and things that you might not know. You know, you would really like to know if you're going to, if heart failure runs in the family and things like that.
Yeah, that's true. And I think you mentioned the fact that if you want to create that relationship with your tribe, and you know that there's something there, but you don't know what it is or with whom, this is a way to do it. You know, women, Native women especially, were victims and are victims of violence at the highest rates. And you can imagine that many of them resulted in a pregnancy through a violent act. I think in the podcast that we talk about, finding mm-hmm. Cleo. Yeah. The one sister didn't have a good relationship with the mother. Was it in that one, or is it a different podcast?
No.
There was a woman, you know, a Native woman who had a number of children, and in investigating their family and looking at the history of their mother, right. realized that one of the pregnancies was due to a violent act. And the daughter never quite understood why the mother was like cold to her, or there wasn't the kind of relationship that there was with other children in the family. And that was a real heartbreaker for the daughter, but at the same time, she realized something about her mother that broke her heart again, but also made it helped her understand that relationship so much better.
Well, I know in Finding Cleo, their mother had been working a lot, and then they just came and stole the children while she was working. And then also with Finding Cleo, she didn't have a good relationship with her adopted family. And the whole thing about finding her was that that they had heard that she died like hitchhiking, trying to get back to the reservation, and wanted to find out what happened to Cleo. And I don't want to give any more away, but it's the mother. I just wanted to say this. It will be giving away something, is the mother was heavily into ICWA and supporting mothers in her later life as her children were stolen from her. But she, you know, became a pillar of the society or of their tribe and really tried to help with mothers and things like that. So that part for me, Mary, was super heartbreaking.
Well, and again, I don't know that we want to give all the info, but that mother held her family together and worked as hard as she could. And when mm-hmm. you said that those children were stolen from her, mm-hmm. she actually came home when they were removing the children, mm-hmm. and they handcuffed the mother yep. to a door.
Right.
And left with the children and left her handcuffed.
Yep.
And she tried to get those kids back in every mm-hmm. way possible. And, you know, this was up in Canada, and mm-hmm. you know, those days were like, yeah, we're not doing this. You're not getting those kids back. And a lot of the kids are like, why didn't my mom come looking for me?
Right.
Why didn't she find us before? And again, it's looking back and having, you know, bad feelings towards a parent that gave you away. Oftentimes they didn't want to give you away.
Right.
So back to the foster care Bill of Rights.
Thank you.
Back
we got,
to
we got deep in our book club or our podcast group yeah. here.
Yeah. You know, but I have a brother-in-law that was adopted, and he found his birth mother and he found his birth father, and it's for them, it's been really, really joyous. It's not always for everybody, but at least everyone has that ability now to find out that information and make sure that that they know who they are.
Well, another one you've been working on too a lot, and I know I was up in the Capitol a couple times during this action and people testifying, is the wild rice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a bill. I have a bill at the Capitol, wild rice protections. Actually, we had three hearings on it this mm-hmm. week. I introduced the bill, in the full bill that had protection for not only to recognize the inherent right of rice, wild rice in Minnesota, but also then some protections around pesticides and herbicides, some protection against watercrafts, those sort of things. Unfortunately, it did not pass in the way that I wanted it to in the full mm-hmm. capacity of the bill. And there's a huge coalition, Rise and Repair, 100. I mean, really and truly, there had to be 100 people or more in the hearing room every time we heard this bill. Like yesterday when we had the bill, I was asked to have it early, to have it talk about it during the committee hearing, mm-hmm. early on in the committee because there were so many people in the room, it was getting over full and over capacity. So that's how many people showed up every single time to talk about this. Eventually, they got us to whittle it down to just the definition and the recognition of wild rice in Minnesota. We had to take out the watercraft restrictions, the pesticides, the herbicides. But that doesn't mean we're not going to continue working on this. And we really will do the best that we can to build on what we started this year. But I do want to say, like, a really hearty Chi-Migwich, Wopilatonka, Pinigigi to all the people that came out, the Peltier brothers and sister, Lori York, former Senator Patricia Torres Ray, so many of those people that are did not give up and will not give up and will continue to work on that.
Well, and that reminds me of your original MMIWR office, and that took a little bit, but here we are. And now, now there's an African-American office that mirrored off to what you did. Can you talk a little bit about that before we go?
Sure. So I passed the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force legislation that created that task force, and I was co-chair with Nicole Matthews. And we came up with a number of recommendations or mandates from that report that created the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Relatives Office. Mm-hmm. And recognizing the mirroring effects for our African American women and the intersection of violence, former State Representative Ruth Richardson and I passed that same task force bill for African American women. And they came up with this, you know, very similar results. We created the permanent office. And so I'm really proud of that and excited about that. I do just want to say that if you remember when Trump was in office, 4 years ago, they created that Lady Liberty or something like that office at the federal government. Well, there's another one that they're starting up. It's called Not to Be Forgotten or Operation Not Forgotten. I haven't been contacted by them at all. There was a press conference at the Capitol, and we haven't heard anything about it. At least I haven't. So I'm excited to learn more about that.
Yeah, we got to go. But it reminds me of what Trump's daughter was in town at the BIA, and we were outside there. Yeah, yeah, we'll have to talk about that more. Hey, thanks again, State Senator.
You bet.
Have a great weekend. Up next, Wendy with their Sacred Animal section. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Summer is fast approaching. How will your teens spend their days? Reconnecting Our Roots is a unique opportunity for Native American teenagers from the Twin Cities area. Students will engage in cultural activities and learn about Native histories rooted through Minnesota Mocoche in a welcoming environment. The summer session runs July 14th through the 18th at the Minnesota History Center, and a stipend is available for those who attend each day. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NEI.
Everyone wants to maximize their dollar. If you're looking for a new vehicle, the only place to go is Rudy Luther Toyota. Consumer Reports Best of 2025 edition has the most reliable vehicles as Toyotas. The Toyota Corolla, RAV4, and RAV4 Prime top the list of the most reliable cars. And Toyotas are fuel efficient, meaning less money at the pumps. Consumer Reports Best of Gas Mileage ranking has the Prius Camry, Corolla Cross Hybrid, RAV4 Hybrid, and the Highlander Hybrid top of their classes. Reliability and fuel efficiency, you'll find them both at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. Here's Wendy with the new Sacred Animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagger Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for our Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. I am really excited about this project that they are doing here in California. Not here in California. I'm not here. But it's called the Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Crossing. It's over the 101 freeway in Agoura Hills. And it's hit another construction milestone, which is exciting. Crews began placing the first layer of soil on what will become a nearly 1 acre native wildlife habitat. And once it's completed in 2026, the wildlife crossing will be the largest bridge of its kind in the world. So that's really exciting. So here's a little bit of background on it. The Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Crossing, formerly known as Liberty Canyon Wildlife Crossing, is under construction. It's a vegetated overpass spanning the Ventura Freeway and Agoura Road at Liberty Canyon in Agoura Hills, California. And this is really exciting. Let's see here. It is huge. It is a total length of 200 feet, and it is 165 feet wide. Let's see here. Over the last several decades, the Santa Monica Mountains, the mountain lion population has declined and became has become genetically isolated, primarily due to Ventura Freeway that prevents them from moving between the mountains and the Simi Hills to the north. Since 2002, at least a dozen mountain lions have been killed on the freeway, as has one black bear. And GPS tracking collars show that most approach the freeway, but then they turn back, while only one was able to repeatedly cross. In 2020, biologists found the first evidence of physical abnormalities in this isolated population. Wildlife crossings meant to allow animals to circulate through habitats fragmented by human development would allow newcomers to bring new genetic material to the area and would also allow mountain lions born in the area a chance to leave in the case of males before they're killed and in the case of females to prevent future inbreeding. The Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Crossing will be the first bridge in the California highway system designed specifically for wildlife connectivity. Scientists identify Liberty Canyon about 35 miles northwest of downtown Los Angeles as the best location for the crossing in a 1990 study commissioned by Santa Monica Mountains Conservation. The crossing is situated along the wildlife corridor within the Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area that consists of thousands of acres of local, state, and federally protected lands that stretch from Los Angeles to Ventura County. Now, I'm hoping that these federally protected lands will stay that way with this current administration. That's my own thoughts. That's not what I'm reading from the Wikipedia article here. Other species expected to benefit from this crossing include bobcats, coyotes, gray foxes, birds of prey, skunks, rodents, American badgers, American black bears, fence lizards, and mule deer. Now, this bridge is specifically done to help the diversity, the genetic diversity of these mountain lions, but it's also going to help, you know, crashes and cars from getting crashed and people from getting hurt as well. So, way to go, California. Okay, did you know otters keep their favorite rocks for years? Yeah, these little otters, it's so cute. They have a little pocket underneath their skin, and they find a rock that they really like, and they keep it with them. Sometimes they keep the same rock for their whole entire life. And now I just thought that this was cute because I saw a couple of otter videos, and I just thought, you know, it was a little otter who found a rock and was playing around with it, but that was the extent of it. But no, that's not it. They use these rocks to crack shellfish. They use it as an anvil and hammer. And they're so cute. So it's a learned behavior, and some studies suggest that otters might also be learning to juggle rocks, possibly to prepare them to prepare themselves to use the rocks for shell, you know, tools and an anvil. How cute is that? Anyway, you could go online and Google otters with rocks, and you could see their cute little videos. So go ahead and do that. Hummingbirds. I talked about the hummingbirds a week or two ago. They're coming. They're migrating up from the south. The weather is changing. It's getting nicer. So we need to get ready for the hummingbirds that are coming. So take out your hummingbird feeder from last year and wash it, but only use white vinegar. Use white vinegar and some water. You know, give it a good cleaning, and rinse it out really good. Do not use any soaps or detergents or bleach or anything like that. The residue stays inside the hummingbird feeder and could hurt the hummingbird, so we don't want to do that. So listen to this. Here we go. I talk about this a lot. This is from an article and a little Paws in the City. You can follow them on Facebook. Did you know one female dog can produce 2 litters of 6 to 10 puppies per year? This means that one unspayed female and her offspring can produce 67,000 dogs in 6 years. An estimated 80% of the dogs will be euthanized in shelters. So why spay? Do you know anyone who wants 67,000 dogs? No, I don't. I don't. So we got to spay and neuter your dog and get that done here. Let's see. Oh, it's also turtle crossing time. Spring is turtle travel time. They're crossing roads and paths to reach safe spots to lay their eggs. So if you see one in the road, gently help it across the direction it was already heading. Break for wildlife. It's the season of tiny travelers. So this happened to me. Robert and I were going driving. I think we were on our way to Stillwater. We saw a turtle in the road, and I was like, oh my God, stop the car, you know. So we did. We stopped. We got out, and I ran out to get the turtle, and I picked it up. You got to pick it up from underneath its, like, underneath its belly. Just don't pick it up by its shell. That kind of hurts the turtle. So pick it up from underneath, way underneath its belly, and put it in. By the way, the turtle peed on me. I have a picture to prove it. And place it in the direction it was already going. Don't take it in the car. Don't take it anyplace else. Turtles stay in like the same spot for their whole entire lives, like a little mile area, and that's it. And if you take them and put them elsewhere, turtles will freak out, and they will just search and go around in circles for the rest of their life looking for that same spot that they came from. So don't move them. And just keep them. Anyway, everybody have a great weekend. Back.
You're listening to the Eagle WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Film Festival Program Director Kirsten Larson and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison discusses their new lineup. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above Lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Vigil today at Florida State University honoring the two people who were killed and six others wounded in a shooting rampage Thursday. Student Madison Askins remains in the hospital. She says when the shooting started, she played dead.
I wanted to call my dad, tell him I loved him. So that was rough.
At the airport after returning from a visit in El Salvador with Kilmer Abrego Garcia, Maryland Democrat Chris Van Hollen says that the Trump administration is not complying with the court order for the man's return to the U.S.
It's about protecting the constitutional rights of everybody who resides in the United States of America. Yes!
The judge overseeing the Brian Koberger upcoming trial in Idaho has some key rulings that'll impact how the case unfolds. Evidence of Koberger's alleged autism spectrum disorder to explain his demeanor only to be allowed at the trial if Koberger testifies. This is ABC News.
You can always